Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is the last day in this rhythm that we are sharing where we read the Old Testament, a psalm, and the New Testament passage each day because we are moving into the season of Advent. And so tomorrow we'll begin reading passages from our Advent devotional guide. And also the Advent devotional will be read by the staff member who wrote the devotional. So I'll miss you for a couple of weeks, but I look forward to us re-engaging in this rhythm of Project 119 in the new year. And I'm trying to kind of think about what we might morph or change, make better. I'm open to suggestions. I love coaching. If there's something that I do that distracts you, let me know. If there's something that is meaningful, if you think anything, I don't know. With the Lord's help, we want to make this a resource where people grow in the knowledge of God and in love for His Word. And so pray with me in this season of Advent that when we start again in the new year, that the Lord would just continue to grow this resource. Okay, let's get to God's Word. We're going to be in 1 Samuel 15, beginning in verse 12, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told, "Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his honor and has turned and gone on down to Gilgal." When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?" Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest." "Enough," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night."
"Tell me," Saul replied. Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and He sent you on a mission, saying, 'Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out.' Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?"
"But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. "I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal."
But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has rejected you as king." Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord." But Samuel said to him, "I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel." As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe and it tore. Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and given it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a human being, that he should change his mind. Saul replied, I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel went back with Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, Bring me Agag, king of the Amalekites. Agag came to him in chains, and he thought, Surely the bitterness of death is past. But Samuel said, As your sword has made women childless, so will your mother be childless among women. And Samuel put Agag to death before the Lord at Gilgal. Then Samuel left for Ramah, but Saul went up to his home in Gibeah of Saul. Until the day Samuel died, he did not go to see Saul again, though Samuel mourned for him. And the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. Over the last couple of days, we've seen Saul's failure unfold in three acts. First, he offers sacrifices when he was supposed to wait on Samuel. And then secondly, Saul makes this rash vow, which is kind of akin to that rash vow that Jephthah makes. Remember the one about whatever steps over the threshold of Jephthah's house when he returns and it ends up being his daughter? And Saul here makes a rash vow that the men need to wait to eat until the end of the evening. Jonathan is wrapped up in that. And then third, Samuel here today brings a command from God that Saul must destroy the Amalekites in battle. So nothing is to be left. And then when Samuel gets on the scene, he hears all this cattle and sheep, and he's like, What did you not understand? You were supposed to destroy everything. And Saul kind of makes his own syncretic religion here. And he's like, yeah, but doesn't God require sacrifices? We kept the best for him. And oh yeah, we did spare the king. And what does Samuel say? God requires obedience more than sacrifice. So really, in the end, Saul just misunderstands God and his divine blessing on those who obey him. And that is a challenge and a word for us as well, that we be a people who are always looking to adhere to what God says and not the standards of the world around us. In the Psalms today, we read Psalm 25. And as I read it, I encourage you to pray these words alongside. O Lord, I give my life to you. I trust in you, my God. Do not let me be disgraced or let my enemies rejoice in my defeat. No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced, but disgrace comes on those who try to deceive others. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me. For you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and unfailing love, which you have shown from long ages past. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Remember me in the light of your unfailing love. For you are merciful, O God. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all who keep his covenant and obey his demands. For the honor of your name, O Lord, forgive my many, many sins. Who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them the path they should choose. They will live in prosperity, and their children will inherit the land. The Lord is a friend to those who fear him. He teaches them his covenant. My eyes are always on the Lord, for he rescues me from the traps of my enemies. Turn to me and have mercy, for I am alone and in deep distress. My problems go from bad to worse. Oh, save me from them all. Feel my pain and see my trouble. Forgive all my sins. See how many enemies I have and how viciously they hate me. Protect me. Rescue my life from them. Do not let me be disgraced, for in you I take refuge. May integrity and honesty protect me, for I put my hope in you. O God, ransom Israel from all its troubles.
And now let us open our hearts to the end of the book of James, chapter 5. We'll begin in verse 13. Is any among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Let us turn our hearts to prayer as James encourages us. I want us to finish out the alphabet today with the characteristics of God. So we'll start with R and make our way through Z. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that you listen to us. You hear our prayers. We pray, Lord, that if there's anything that hinders our prayers, that you would make us aware. We pray, Lord, that you would be our Redeemer. You are our refuge, our Restorer, the Rock of Ages. You are our Savior and Shepherd, our Sustainer, who speaks into our lives. Thank you for being trustworthy, unchanging, unfailing in your love. You are the vine. Help us to be the branches, Lord. You are the way maker, and you are the wonderful counselor. You are excellent and exalted, and you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our zealous King, the King of righteousness. And Lord, we're just so grateful that from A to Z, you are everything that we need. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.